three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this on the 19th of September in the evening on the East Coast. We're talking about the Blitz. Joe Corr here. Andrew Kenyon, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. It's evening in the West as well.
Late in the evening, I said. It's not late in the evening. Would you say it's late in the evening in the West?
Oh, well, it depends on your perspective. 8 p.m.? Nah, it's not that late, is it? We're party animals. We're ready to go.
You're damn
right. Going to talk some basketball. Let's do it.
The Blitz, we'll do a rundown quickly. We're talking about Corey Webster. We're talking about Danny Mills, same team. We're talking about Hutchie, all in that Perth Wildcat orbit. Hutchie and SEN, that is. And then we're talking about the Blitz risers, fallers, and the creamy middles, the stagnants, that I'm calling them that. And then Canyon, jumping in. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with what's fresh in my mind, shall we? Can we just let's go through over the game tonight?
Sure.
Or the games. Sorry, tonight. I actually missed the first one. I saw the last quarter. I was having to come home because it wasn't a Western Standard Time friendly time slot.
Not at all.
So you might have to fill me in.
I did.
You watched
it. I actually listened to a lot of it. I had it on KO on the commute home, watched a bit here. I never paid full attention to these Blitz games. Kind of had them on the background, punch in, give it 4 good minutes. Like, okay, that team looks good. I tried to catch the start of games and then situational stuff where it was close. Like, okay, what? This is the most game-like these teams are going to encounter and form an opinion off that. Because if you watch all the game, you're not getting actually a fair cross-section.
No. So tonight it was
New Zealand and Tasmania. They're good teams. I mean, not to jump the gun here, but they're on my list of risers, teams that I saw in the Blitz and I had a relatively high opinion of, but it's the needle has moved up a little bit.
Yeah, it's the battle of the midget guards. And that's fun. We haven't had that in the NBL for a long time.
I love a midget guard, especially if they're lightning quick. I mean, you know who else is a small guard who's been lightning quick and done pretty well? Bryce Cotton. You stood next to that guy. He's tiny. He'd be under 6 foot. Am I right in saying?
Definitely. Yeah.
There's no hope he's
5'11 at best.
With shoes on. So I think he's a 5'9, 5'10. And slender too, right?
Yeah.
But super quick. And the guards and the refs do kind of protect you in the NBL. So anyway, sorry. But what do you think of the second game?
Perth and Adelaide. Well, again, I missed the first few minutes of this game. Unfortunately, I had to rush out in the car.
Well, I'm going to correct you there. Because you didn't miss the start of the game because it was never a game. It wasn't a game the moment these guys put on their uniforms.
I turned it on and I couldn't believe it. It was like 31-6 or something.
Yeah.
Mm. Could not believe it. And can we swear?
You may. Yeah,
that was a shit show. Adelaide, you are terrible.
Listen, I want to keep this centric on the Blitz, and I don't want to forecast this season. We're going to do a season preview coming up. Right,
sure.
But I think it's hard not to bleed one into the other. I tweeted out, I was like, this is going to be a catastrophe. Mm. A catastrophe. Because not only have you got a bad roster, you've also got bad blood. I mean, to be this bad in the preseason.
Yeah.
And the effort level and the way this is what was telling for me. They go down big, and I did catch the first bit, and they had a timeout where it was 18-2 or whatever it was. They come out of a timeout, and the first play out is a turnover, just thrown out of bounds. They come down, give up an easy post play to Pinder, go back down, another turnover. It was like contemptuous. It was like, oh, really, coach? You're going to try and instruct us? Watch this. So I think I'm willing to say I think CJ's lost the locker room. It's bad enough to have a bad roster. This is not a bad roster that played poorly. He's lost them.
How do you lose the locker room before the preseason? Does that mean you never had the locker room?
Never had it.
How does that work?
Well, I don't think he recruited these guys or has been totally recruited over the top of and made to look a cock. I hate to use strong words in day two of the Blitz, but
we have been down this road before. Isn't this exactly pretty much what happened last season? Or they looked a little happier last season because they won the preseason.
But last season they had pros. They brought in Ian Clark, winner, championship player. They had Franks, who was put up good numbers. Cleveland, who been a winner at Illawarra under Gorgian. And they had a roster. They spent on it. This roster's dreadful. And then not only is it a bad enough roster, you know, maybe they could have eked out, you know, a couple of wins. Now they're doing funky stuff with the point guard. You take the mic.
Trenton Flowers. Wow. So I watched the first game he played.
Against New Zealand.
New Zealand.
In the 26-point loss, yeah.
Oh, man, there was blood in the water, and those New Zealand guards just went for him. It was a bloodbath. He couldn't get the ball past half court. This is the guy that came out. Now, I don't know if I admire a guy who talks big game, but if you're going to talk a big game, at least show some game when you come on the court. Oh, he talked about he was going to be the best point guard, and he was like NBA, heading straight to the NBA. You know, early on he was really pumping his tires up. Well, and it just seems like there's too much of this. There's too much of this. Young kids coming in saying, I'm going to be all this. Just do the work. And it doesn't look like he's doing any of the work.
His entry to the NBA was peculiar because he'd committed somewhere else and then decommitted and kind of was trashing the coach. And I implore people, I haven't done the work to – we didn't get paid enough to do the research. You go and Google it. But his thing was committed to a college and then trashed the coach on the way out and was a late next star. You know, Saar was long rumored to be coming to the NBA.
Yep.
This guy was a bit quicker. Maybe the rumors were there, but pen to paper, it was like, bang, he's your next star and he's in uniform, he's coming to Adelaide. And, you know, it felt like only a couple of weeks before the blitz. So I think he was just this weird – I think we've got a player who's fallen through the cracks here because – and now he's playing out of position. Like, what's this point guard stuff?
Well, he said he's a point guard.
CJ with this fake smile. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
See, this is the one I don't understand, right? CJ was a point guard. Okay, he played point guard for Australia. If anybody's going to know point guard player, he is going to know it. He was a good player. Yeah. Surely he has seen enough of this Trenton Flowers guy to know this is not a point guard. My only hope, what I came out of the first game from, was like, oh, CJ's just thrown him to the wolves and just gone, hey, all right, you want a bit of, you reckon you're a point guard? Go out there and play, big fella, and just let him get eaten alive.
Oh,
maybe a bit of humble pie.
I hadn't considered that, man. I think this is why I say catastrophe, because we've had bad teams that, you know, get hurt and lose games. That's not a catastrophe. That's well within the wheelhouse of any of these NBL teams.
Sure.
But this could be a catastrophe because I think the off-court stuff is going to play huge. Yeah, what guarantees have they made to Flowers with this next star and playing him point guard? And then maybe you're right. Maybe CJ's gone, oh, man, they're putting pressure on me to start this kid. I don't even want him on the roster, let alone starting point guard. All right, I'm going to make him look a fool in the blitz, and maybe then we can recalibrate and get McCarron back and bring him off the bench. Maybe that's a strategy. Or he's just cucking out and just been told, nope, this kid's playing 30 minutes of point guard. We're going to tank the season. We're going to get the NBA buyout money, and you're just going to smile along and take it. And I refuse to believe that Bruton he has been around basketball. You know a player when you see it, and you know a player when you don't. He's not daft. No. I'm not. No one's fault. This is a nightmare. Nightmare. But the rest of the roster's not very good too, and the imports already hurt. And, oh,
I know.
God,
it's just a Mitch McCarron is not looking any better. Like, I reckon you've got a real problem when Jason Gedee looks miles better than anybody else on the court.
Yeah, he looked all right.
Him and Humphreys, the only two they got going. And you know Humphreys is going to get injured.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
And there's no protection behind him. Toey Smith-Milne's the backup.
Jeez.
And, you know, like capable enough player, but if he's looking to start, man, he could be a start. Wow. This could be a catastrophe just on court. And, you know, where they're losing games by these margins. Average losing margin, 29 points so far in the blitz.
Yeah, it's not good.
Are we overreacting?
Not really. They're pretty bad.
But the effort and things like that.
They just they don't even look close. Even in junk time of this game against the Wildcats tonight, it was just turnover, ball getting stolen. Like, it was just.
And Detch was just coming down sometimes and just like, yeah, I'll pull the trigger on this contested mid-ranger. I'm like, wow. Wow. I mean, I want to talk about it. And also, there was a time when they went down big, the score was, you know, 20 something to 5 or 6, whatever. Mm. And the other import, I want to say Franklin, the guy out of the Philippines.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he was yapping. Oh, he was pointing. He was there was a lot of finger pointing going on. He's not happy. And he's got there's this article out there, this reputation that he has for sort of being quite assertive or outspoken, yep. or maybe I don't want to say anything.
He got sort of shunted from his past team, didn't he? Or there was a falling out. Yeah,
precisely. So if you don't want to give a player a crack like that. And what's funny is, like, did they learn nothing from last season? Brought in Randall. No, yep. we can handle him. And I'm not saying Franklin is that player, but when you create an environment that breeds discontent and someone's got a predisposition to it, it's a bad start. You're behind the eight ball already. So we'll dump on Adelaide more in our season preview because I just don't see any. Do you see any light? Did you see, this player's coming on? Do you see any light?
Yeah, Jason Kadee looks good.
Jason Kadee. Okay. All right. I mean, a handsome player, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to the finals? Come on,
hey, speaking of Adelaide.
Let's move on. What do you want to talk? Let's quickly talk about Corey Webster.
Yeah, that's what I thought would be a beautiful transition because we had Isaac Humphries playing tonight. Isaac Humphries, a guy who came out last season to much fanfare, and good on him. It league got behind it, really made a big thing of it.
Absolutely.
Not sure Corey Webster's so on board with it all.
Not everyone's on board.
No.
Well, I don't know. And this is what I wanted to sort of ask and put out to the sort of court of public opinion. I didn't know what Corey Webster meant by the tweet. Was it a joke? Yeah.
No.
So to people who don't know, picture of the, I guess it is the gay flag, isn't it? Or the LGBTQI, the flag is, the rainbow flag. And above it was, when you see this, what is your first thought? Corey Webster wrote mental illness. I don't know. I mean, satire, sarcasm always reads poor on Twitter. Was that it? Did he mean?
The guy's got form. Like,
yeah, that's a good point,
You know, like this is, he's also complained about or talked about flat earth, contrails, COVID-19,
pyramids
vaccine.
And aliens maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of strangeness
going on. Anything with a YouTube video, like, you know how there's this, these topics of real YouTube fodder? That's, you can see the YouTube rabbit hole. You can see it on some of this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think he's, clearly not the sharpest tool in the shed, I'd have to
say. I'm
going to
blunt it a little bit more than that. I'm going to say it doesn't translate to Twitter well.
Mm.
Keep it off Twitter, you know?
Well, he did. He deleted it.
Oh, that's probably...
eventually. After he was probably told to delete it and probably in breach of the social media contract that he signed.
And it's like, what good? Even if you thought it, which we don't agree with, obviously.
No.
It's not the right attitude at all. But if you even thought it, okay, you tweet it out, for what benefit? You're going to get a sponsorship with Gatorade now? You're going to make money off the deal? You know, just preserve your money. Keep that stuff if you must be that ignorant, keep it in your home or your church or wherever you were allowed to do it. Just don't do it on Twitter. I'm in the NBL. I don't want to see that shit myself. You don't want to see it. Fans don't want to see it. Kids don't want to see it. Twitter is a pretty open forum, although it skews older. We don't want to see that shit. And when you're taking the Perth Wildcats money, you know, if you're going to get the free lunch, just stay within the lane.
Yeah.
Outside of the league, do what you want. Go. But while you're taking the money, behave.
But can I just say, okay, NBL. So last year, big hoo-ha about Humphries coming out.
And rightfully so. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, rightfully so. And now we get the mealy-mouthed statement. Corey Webster apologizes. He, you know, it's an opportunity for us all to learn, and he's going to sit out of this game because we think it's all for the best and that's the appropriate decision. And once again, he's very sorry. Like, come on.
Oh.
Come on. Don't
that was a
be
pop.
So,
that was a the mic pop.
Just
angry.
Don't be so weak. Like, come out and say, Corey Webster, this is highly inappropriate, and we give Isaac Humphries 100% support, as was demonstrated last season, and we are absolutely disgusted that you would come out and say this about a fellow player in your league. And, you know, like, there just seems to be stronger sanctions, I think. Now, I just don't like it. And then they have the telecast tonight, and they get Danny Mills on.
Was there ever, and I must admit, I didn't pay huge attention to this telecast. And if we're wrong, I'll admit it, but I heard no mention of Corey Webster, like, oh, he's sitting out because of that, and it was mentioned. Now, did we,
whitewash.
If we missed something in the telecast, I do apologize.
Total whitewash. It's frustrating. Like, I know that you're just trying to pump the tires on your league, right? And you're not really a proper broadcaster. You're just a promotional unit sometimes.
Oh, careful. In the careful commentary. With the just. I'm just going to take you there. Like that, but the NBL, I'm not hurt at the NBL here because the NBL's job is to sell the NBL product, right? And to family first. And that's what you do with a situation like this. You can understand that. You just bury it, right? You just don't, you just, yep, that happened, bang, we'll move it. Just go, shut the door. I get that. I'm not so down on the NBL itself. We've got two contrasting, but contrasting opinions on this.
You can't have it both ways. You can't come out and say, "Oh, Isaac Humphries, you're an inspiration to all those other, gay players out there that are patching the closet, and you've given them confidence to come out." And then Corey Webster comes and slams it and says, "You've got mental illness," and then don't. They don't say anything. It just seems like you're trying to have both ways.
If I can sort of play devil's advocate, because I don't actually believe this, but also it's like, does it fall into that churchy kind of realm, you know, where it's like the Manly Seagulls players were kind of allowed to not wear the patch, and so were the Cairns Taipans last year, by the way, able to get out on the church, on the religious grounds. So maybe there's that element to it that I haven't really brought into the discussion. I'm just sort of, thinking every time.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is to say is maybe the NBL's thing is like, listen, we're not going to focus on the negative. Humphries comes out, we're going to celebrate the good. When the bad comes, we're going to deal with it in the way that's curt and low-key and push on with the positive. I actually don't hate the way the NBL handled it. I kind of have a problem with the outside of the NBL media where you've got, I got to hand it to Code Sports, which is Matt Logue, Mick Randall. They put out articles about it both before, during, after. They told a story, set up, punchline, conclusion, or what is it? Set up, whatever it is, body, conclusion. Mm. It's the others where I saw one site that not write about it, and instead of getting their basketball people to do it, lift an article off the APP, the Allied Press line, which is, no byline, just...
Just one hand.
I didn't write it. Oh, there's no name on it. It was written by the cleaning lady. Oh, we don't know. Mm. Can I still get an autograph? That to me is worse.
Yeah.
But so we've cost ourselves money. prepared to move on.
Oh, the people at the NBL are going to love us.
It's not even the people at the NBL. It's not these basketball circles. This is not just Corey Webster too. This is Bogut on occasion.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Cairns Taipans last year. That was actually handled a bit better, a bit more assertive, but,
Okay, well, I'll tell you this,
Joe. What we're saying is we just want people to show a shred of courage, both moral and physical.
Yeah.
Is that...
Let's make it into a conversation, okay? Okay, yeah. So let's you talk about
I didn't
Corey,
like it.
Corey We've, Webster, I saw the tweet. It's a chance I thought, for education.
It's fucking provocative. Sorry for the language. It's unneedlessly provocative. Even if you thought it's the wrong thing to think, keep it off Twitter. Keep it off anywhere public. Just keep that hate in your heart and walk your way. I don't want to see it. Anyway, let's move on.
Whew. All right.
Whew. That got fiery.
Did. That's going to be more of that this season, I hope.
Yeah,
more
this fire. Is going to be a different season for sure.
Yeah.
So, which is a great time to remind people, if you like fire, join the Patreon because that segment probably cost us. Probably 100 grand. Oh, I don't know. We're on the roster somewhere. Okay. Let's talk about, do you want to talk about Danny Mills or Hutchie and SEN?
Let's just quickly do Danny Mills.
We so appeared in the
game.
Telecast.
On the game. Commentating. wasn't commentating. They were just having a conversation.
I thought he was
the game
just
on in the background.
He was just reading a series of bumper stickers stitched together. Just jargon talk of this, that, build on the platform, It was like ChatGPT Danny Mills.
Do you know what I find offensive?
I didn't like
and it. Maybe this is me being old fashioned. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Joe, you're slightly younger than me, so maybe show me the ways. I find it offensive when basically a manager, the guy who signs these people, just calls their players pieces.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It's become part of the lingo. It's like,
I'm gonna stop you there. It's become part of the American and NBA lingo.
Right.
And that shows perhaps where Danny Mills' head is at. Wants that NBA. And why not? Big money, big league. Sure, I get it. I'm not just, discouraging the guy or whatever. But
I just find it demeaning that people are just, like in this league, are just put down to, we just needed this piece and we got this piece.
But like, they're just not, though, in the NBA. Like, that's not – in the NBA, it's pieces because you can trade. You trade out a pawn. You put a pawn out, two things, it's a sacrifice pawn. That's a trade. That's a piece. But in the NBL, it's like you sign a guy and you either cut him and sign someone. It's not a trade piece.
I don't know.
It's just this cheap pickup of the language.
It just feels so transactional. It's just like, like we're not really looking to find another Bryce Cotton here. We're just bringing in a piece, you know?
Is that what he said?
Well, I don't think he said that. I'm just paraphrasing. That it comes across, it's very much like, you know, we're just shuffling pieces for this season, and then we'll look to retool and we'll bring in other pieces.
But this is what I'm saying about. Right. See, you're taking umbrage with the humanity of it. I'm taking umbrage with the jargon of it, because that to me is just stuff where that's just what they say in the US. And instead of actually going like, you know what? The NBL is more about certainly injury prevention, bit of rehab. Like, okay, we've signed this guy. We think he's going to miss the first 5 games of the year. We'll nurse him back, but the ceiling is there. And Jesse Wagstaff, what has he got left? The NBL is more of it's about that sort of that. That's the actual, you know, if you want to call it like piece play. That's the chess moves you're making. More micro, more human. Like Sydney Kwatanoi last year. Like we think he's got something. We're going to bring him over. You don't trade for him. You don't pick up a piece. You're like, you're investing in the human being in the NBL, because rosters are smaller, talent pool smaller, money's smaller, no trades. And just what I'm saying is dress for the job you have, not the one you want.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, this is harsh. This is a brutal episode of the Pocket Pod. This is out of the pocket.
It is.
This is crazy.
He does trade in generalisms and buzzwords. Basketball buzzwords are Danny Mills' stock in trade.
Okay.
He's very good at saying a lot without saying anything. And as soon as you delve into anything where there might be substance required, such as Bryce Cotterson's citizenship situation, it's very much all the sensitivities.
Well, and also, like, you want to talk about bringing in a piece? Sign a third import. How about that? That's the biggest and best piece you've got, okay? But they likely won't be doing that, because their owner –
can't afford it.
Craig Hutchinson of SEN, $9.2 million in the red. Now, I've heard all sorts of stuff about this story. Author of the article with an axe to grind. Do you know how often I get heard that rationale after every bad article? I hear that. I'm like, oh, I heard about that. Oh, yeah. Author's got an axe to grind. Or writer, reporter's got an axe to grind. I'm like, oh, they all do. That's kind of the job. But I'm not discrediting that, by the way. That very well may be the case. But I'm like, I just hear that so often. I'm still skeptical.
Yeah.
Article comes out, forget which newspaper, apologies to them, you deserve the pat on the back. $9.2 million in the red, but what was more important? Hutchie, $1.5 million bonus. You sink the company by 10 mil, you get 1.5.
You know, you walk away. It's CEO, founder 101, isn't it?
What's Alan Joyce 101 of Qantas?
Have we learned nothing from venture capital performance? And you've got to feather your own nest first. This is very important in any business enterprise. Look, I think...
Are you worried? Do you read into it? Are you worried on it from a Wildcat level, from an NBL level?
The Wildcats are just one chink in the SEN armor. You know,
a small one as well.
Yeah, it's not.
But the fact they haven't got a third import, and the roster looks a little lean, and the spend's like,
Well, they'd certainly be looking at saving money where they could.
Oh yeah.
But the problem we've got is that the economic environment has changed. We've got raising interest rates. Capital is suddenly not as cheap as it was. Mm. So the Commonwealth Bank are saying, "Well, we've lent you all this money, and now it's time to pay it back, and we'd like it back, please." I mean, that's kind of what you have to do when you borrow money, is you've got to eventually pay it back.
Mm.
You can only rob Peter to pay Paul for so long.
This is the thing. And they must admit, the 9.5 loss, and they've been on a big acquisition. They've signed a bunch of funky investments. You know, who really wants the Wildcats? It doesn't really make you money. You know, it was always a philanthropy exercise for Bendat. So, a bit peculiar. And then all these sort of small New Zealand teams. I never got it, but maybe they've got a strategy to milk the betting ad roll money. I'm not sure. But I will say that smart people I know in media, and I won't give my credentials, or their names, but they're like, well, you know, we're looking to acquire some of their talent even when they became available at the end of the summer. There's a lot of people who are thinking they may nab some big SEN talent, you know, your Andy Mars, and you know, if SEN would not quite fulfill its end of the bargain.
Yeah, look.
Smart people.
What I want to do, I think at this point, it's probably time for me to quote one of my favorite TV personalities.
Oh.
No. Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet.
Oh.
Hmm.
Laid on me.
Yeah. When he goes into and assesses a business, he looks at People, process, product. And that's basically what you're looking for in a business. Now, if you look at Wildcats / SEN, do you want the people? Do you feel like the people are top of what they do? You got Danny Mills. You got suppliers. You got a new media guy who seems to be struggling a little bit. Do you want the people? Okay, maybe not. They have the process. Do they have a process?
I think they did.
I think they did. Though it seems to be staggering a little bit now.
Yes.
And then they've got a product. What's their product? Is their product
well,
good?
Well, their product is 13,000 members that are as passionate as any sport fan. Those members are great.
It's about monetizing those members, right?
For sure, yeah.
So how are you going to monetize them? By having them listen to AM radio? I don't get it. I just Joe Corr.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you, what was the word you said? How do you sell to them?
Monetize.
I know how you exploit them. You just keep putting this team out there at RSA Arena, which is incredibly accessible. The team trades off its, but the Wildcats is a big trademark. That's a big brand, you know, and I think they trade off that and slap some betting ad roll in and around the building.
Yeah.
That's big money, man. Betting is big money and SEN are all over it. So I'm right on the fence as to whether I believe this stuff about SEN or not. I've heard really smart people on both ends. Smart, good people saying, nah, it's fine. Smart, good people saying, eh.
Okay.
Keep your ear to the ground.
You know what? Let me ask you this. You can go out there right now. You can buy some. It's a listed entity. You can buy some shares in SEG, right? Yep. SEG.
Yes, sure.
Would you? Your own money, Joe. Or
No. I don't listen to me personally. I don't listen to the radio, nor anyone. Know anyone who does. I like sports betting and ad roll, but I don't like the acquisitions SEN have made. I don't like buying into the radio. I'd prefer if they directed that focus to digital and things like that. The properties they've bought are good for until the boomer generation die, and then it's just you've got an asset. You hot potato. You can't get rid of this thing. So for that reason, if I wanted to make a pump and dump short return in the short term, yeah, perhaps. But yeah. That's not what I'm looking to do, and I don't think a lot of people are going to do.
It's not what the market's wanting either, because if you look at their trend over the last 5 years, 2019 down to 2023, it's all one direction, and that direction is down.
Their share price.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's leave it at that. That's to quote The Wire, not that I've watched it, but I've heard you talk about it. Follow the money.
That's it.
Share price. Let's talk about the Blitz. Let's go on to these teams. We were sort of chatting before the thing. We want to talk about teams that we thought of before the Blitz, and now their stock has risen. People who have fallen, Adelaide most specifically, and then teams that have kind of, we're still stagnant or don't have an opinion on or waiting for more.
Yep.
Can I give you my risers and you tell me if you agree or disagree and we'll talk some more.
Okay, tell me.
Risers. So these are teams I had okay opinion of, or my opinion of them has gone up after seeing them play. New Zealand, Brisbane, Cairns, Tasmania.
Yeah, good combo.
I had Tasmania, I thought were going to be top four. I now think they may be a really good team, you know, top two, three, contested ladder.
I like their point guard. I like him a lot.
I like the small point guard. We were saying how much we love it. And Milton Doyle, they've got a bit of consistency. I actually really like Lee. I just like the fit of that roster. They feel tight. Scott Roth didn't even bother coaching. Whatever. Cairns, I got a better impression of Cairns. I thought they put up a lot of points on Perth. I think they're going to defend. I think they're going to be – I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. But I think they're going to be in games to the end. And then Taron Armstrong, their rookie point guard, I think is going to struggle to get him over the line, just being young. But I think he's really, really good player. But you got to be a special player at that age to win your games in the NBL down the line. And I don't think they're going to do that. But I just think they're going to be – no win is going to be easy against them unless they get injured. And then Brisbane. Mm-hmm. Brisbane are going to play D. And this league has shown, if nothing over the last couple of years of covering this pod, if you play D and stay healthy – you won't be a bottom of the league table. I think I thought they were going to be a really bad team. I think they're going to be sort of that mid table, which for them is a huge success because they've been really bad the last couple of years. So, and then New Zealand, they lost two great imports. I thought they were going to be bad. I actually quite like what I've seen. Do you have any qualms with that list or anyone to add, or what do you think?
No, that's actually quite a good list. I'm probably not quite as high on Cairns as perhaps you are. I think
say that again.
I'm not quite as high on Cairns as perhaps you are.
I just had I thought they were going to finish last, and I don't think that anymore.
Oh, so. Okay, right. No, they won't finish last.
They'll be in the bottom quadrant, but I think they won't be an embarrassment to themselves like some other teams, I think.
No, Adelaide will finish last.
There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah. Look, it's pretty good. I'm sort of more like, who am I excited about and who am I just
not who are you excited about? In? Who blows your skirt up?
Sure, I'm excited. I'm a little bit excited about Brisbane Bullets.
Me too. I just thought, and why are you excited?
Well, it seems like they actually have a pulse, and that's kind of fun. They're a team that has been just meh for so long, right?
Discontent. So boring. Cantankerous, perhaps.
Yeah, and I like their coach. Justin Shuler, I think.
Justin Shuler, formerly of United, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's brought a different flavour to this team, and I think that it's just the shake-up they needed. So I'm hopeful that they will. They might actually show something this year. So that's good. Mm. Tassie, yeah. I really like them too. And Tassie. I'm down on Sydney Kings.
Oh, you're putting – so in my fallers category, I had Adelaide and Illawarra. I did not have the Kings. Okay. Why do you have the Kings as a faller?
I just feel like they've had a real clean out of talent last season, and they've brought Bolden in. And
what was your thoughts on him? Sorry to depart. What?
No, it's just, not really much. Just didn't do a lot. Mm. Sure, he'll get better. He's like – he played in the NBA. He has talent, but – can you recapture that form? Like, he's been out for 3-4 years. Like, that's a long time. So I don't know. Mm. I just think they're leaning on him a little too much. So Perth look like if Bryce Cotton keeps playing the way he's been playing of recent games, including those Ignite games, they're going to be a chance just because he's so good.
I had them in the stagnants. My stagnants were Perth, Southeast Melbourne, Sydney, and Melbourne itself. And only Melbourne, I've only put in the stagnants because I thought they were going to be good anyway. And I saw them beat up on a couple of teams. You know, they just got by Brisbane.
Yeah.
And then who they beat up on, Illawarra. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's par for the course. And
that checks out.
I still saw the same lethargic Travers. Not lethargic, mm-hmm. but just not, I thought maybe there'd be a real switch as he crisscrossed the coasts. I'll say that five times fast. I thought they'd be a real, but nope.
Yep.
Nope, same disposition, which may be good, maybe bad. That's why I've got him in the stagnants. And people going wild for Dela Vadova. They're like, oh, he's turned the corner offensively at age 41. What? Late 30s? I'm like, come on, man. He hit a couple of shots.
Boo-hoo. I do like Deli with a chip on his shoulder, though. I want to see him try and play his way into that Boomer squad. I really want to see that.
Do you think he's coming off the bench?
For Melbourne United?
Yeah.
Nah.
I don't think so either.
Nah, he'll play. He'll start.
He'll start. And Ilya will come off the bench for sure.
Yeah.
Here's my problem, and I've said this from the beginning with Melbourne. Dela Vadova, Golding, Ilya. I mean, these guys are going to miss time. Golding and Ilya in particular. Well, Ilya, we don't know. Mm. Concussion, hard to say. But that's an old and a lot of injuries. Ilya just plays so damn hard, he's going to hurt himself. So,
yep.
That's my. But we're talking about the blitz.
Just on Deli though. Do you really? I'm starting to wonder if the Boomers made the right call.
Maybe they should
have taken Deli as the knockdown shooter instead of Chris Golding.
We spoke about that. Either he was going in and in. Now he's being silly. stagnant. So you had no Sydney. I mean, the fact that Adams and Hogue didn't play. You're overreacting. I think you're being silly.
I probably am, actually. Good point. Yeah, fair enough.
I thought, yeah, they look kind of bad. Yeah, they're missing their two best players, an MVP and an NBA, an NBL first teamer.
Well, yeah. When you put it like that.
They struggled a little bit in the half court. There's your pretty simple solution there. Let's just, that guy who drops 25 points at a high clip? Yeah, put two of them in.
Good yeah, okay. God. Fair enough.
SEM, I only got patches of their games. They're hurt already. Alan Williams is missing time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, this team just can't get out of its own way.
It's hard to get a read on them, really. But
very hard.
I don't know. I wasn't excited. I wasn't excited to see them play.
They didn't jump off the page for me. And that's a team that's sat in the middle its entire existence to this point.
Yeah. 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 It's very much like that, isn't it? Just, yeah.
We'll wait on them. Perth. So you were excited by Perth. Tell me why.
Well, excited. I like some of the form that their younger players are showing. Like Ben Henshaw, he's looking real good. And you got Michael Harris as well. Always been a good shooter. Great shooter last year. But now seems to be playing with a lot of confidence. Now, it is only the preseason. He'll probably get benched in the regular season. But I just think they have more depth. You had last season, you were relying on Norton and Blanchfield.
Good point.
To rely on those guys is always a risky proposition. Now, you've got these young guys who have a bit of hunger. So I'm thinking they might be okay. But starting Jesse Wagstaff is not a recipe for success.
What do you like about it?
He's old and slow, and I just don't. I don't want it. He should be just the bench veteran, you know. He
should be an assistant in the uniform.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So to me, they look small. And what was the biggest problem with the Wildcats of last year?
Rebounding.
Okay, people, you don't understand what's happened here. Zencaster has failed us. It does this all the time. We're going to be changing platforms. Zencaster, you lost a customer, okay? You lost two customers.
Now
I'm speaking to the microphone, recording locally, and Canyon's on speakerphone on my mobile phone. So if the quality's terrible, you know why. And by the way, now's a good time to say a big thank you to our patrons for supporting this dumpster fire that is this thing. You know, but we're not paid to do this professionally, you know. Well, not a lot, and that's the issue. All right, we're talking about Perth. And I think I was about to say that their one big issue last year was they were soft. They didn't defend and they didn't rebound. And I don't think they've done anything to address it other than Saar, who's quite lengthy and long, but still pretty slender. And I don't think the answer initially, I didn't see it from Pinder. Cairns put up 90 some points. I didn't see the defense that they needed. I'm worried.
No, there's no mongrel.
None.
And it looks like a really coached team is going to be run up and down and score a lot of points. Which is great for selling tickets, don't get me wrong. But it's probably not going to win you a championship.
No, and I think they're again going to... I just don't see where this roster's gotten better from last year, from the play of the blitz. I don't see where... they had a clear deficiency. And unless Pinder's sort of... He does have the face mask on. Maybe there's more to see, but I still don't see where their major deficiency of size and what have you and rebounding and defense has been... corrected in the blitz. So that's a little, I don't think it's even a wait and see. I don't think they've addressed it, but I mean, having said that, we'll have to wait and see if we're correct on that.
Got to stay, Joe Court. This has been a Perth heavy podcast, hasn't it?
This has just been a nightmare. We still got to the sort of 35, 40 minute mark. So we're kind of out of here. Next week, we're going to try some new platforms of recording. If you're out there and you have a recommendation, join us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod and send your suggestions there. Actually, you know what? Become a patron.
It's just called X, isn't it? It's
not X. Twitter. Sorry. Join us on X. But even better than that, become a patron and send us a message in there once you've paid the however much we charge. I've really forgotten. Do that. Join us at NBL Pocket Pod on X or Twitter. What was Twitter? And Instagram and a few other things. You'll find us. Type in NBL Pocket Pod. You'll find us. And Canyon's kind of on some of these platforms. I don't know. Where are you at, Canyon?
Hit me up at Mastodon at Canyon at social.lol. That's LOL.
Enjoy the rest of the Blitz. Anything to tell the folks as we end the Blitz and then kind of have a wee break and into the season?
Look forward to NBL Pocket Podcast coming up this season. Bigger, brighter, better than ever. Look at our platform.
Bitchier. Bitchier and meaner.
Bitchier. I like that.
All right, Canyon.
Came up with a good slogan in that last episode.
Yeah, what was it? This podcast is, it's not what you want, but it's what you, it's not much, but it's what you need. What is it?
Something like that. We'll work on it.
Okay, if you want to hear that, folks, go back and listen to the last episode. Go ahead and do that and tell us at Twitter or whatever. All right, we're out of here. Canyon, pleasure.
Bye.